This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by a grateful admirer of our late Magid-Shir and friend, Rabbi Yosef Freilich, Rabbi Yosef ben David, on his second year outside. Chuf Zayin Teves, Monday the 30th of December, Rabbi Yishai Nosson Freilich, Pesach and Hot Springs.
Shus, ben the Chosh of the listeners, as the Sheyeshna Poi, as the Sheyenenu Poi. A number of years ago, I was fortunate to come across an old copy of the National Geographic magazine brought out in 1915, almost 100 years old. There was a writer there, a reporter named John Whiting, who was reporting on the recent locust plague in Jerusalem in 1915. Fascinating article, unbelievable, with pictures. And he writes in his Hakdoma, in his introduction, that he wants to compare these recent locusts with the ancient locust invasions as narrated in the old world's history book, the Bible. So as he goes through the article, he's quoting Psukim from the Torah. And it's unbelievable what happened there. One of the psukim he brings down there, Umolu botecho, in English of course, Umolu botecho, vote kol avodecho, vote kol Mitzrayim, the locust would fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, the houses of all Egypt. Asher lo yiro avisecho, v'avois avisecho, that your fathers nor your grandfathers have never seen from the very day which they came upon this world until this very day. I want to just comment on that last pasuk. The Sfasemes, this is not brought in National Geographic, by the way. The Sfasemes asks Akasha, what does it mean when the Torah writes that your grandfathers have never seen such locusts until this very day? I mean, your grandfathers are long dead already, the Egyptian grandfathers. So what do you mean, until this very day? Seems to imply that today they will be seeing it. That's what the Sosemis asks the Diakon Apostle. And he answers quite an interesting teretz. He says it's well known, state in the Zoya, and the Pusuk, Yismach Yisrael Ba'isov. So he brings there that when a Yid makes a simcha shal mitzvah, so the Rebbeinu Shloim takes his fathers and grandfathers in Shemayim, and he's mesameach them in Shemayim. They dance with the simcha in Shemayim. You often hear people quoting this by chasnas, that their grandfathers are besimcha in Shemayim with the Yiddish simcha shal mitzvah, because after all, the grandfather has a chelik in his grandchild's simcha shal mitzvah. He's put in the koiches to his child, it goes through the generations. Similarly, says the Sfasemis, conversely, shall we say, that when a goy is being punished for bad deeds which he's done, as in the case of Mitzrayim, and no doubt they got it from their fathers and grandfathers who are mechanech them in to do this sort of thing, therefore when they get punished, says the Sfasemis, Rebbeinu Shlom takes their fathers and grandfathers in Shemayim and shows them the oinish which their grandchildren are doing, the punishment. They get punished with it, they suffer with it together. And therefore, it makes sense to say that your grandfathers have never seen such locusts until this very day, but on this day, the grandfathers of the Egyptians will suffer with them. Today I'm speaking here, Zeicha Nishmas, my father's Zechron Levrucha. Be'ez Hashem, all the Torah which we're going to say today, he's going to be Mesameach in Olam HaEmes there. He has a chelek in our Torah, in my Torah, that he was the whole time encouraging us, always in Avos Torah and mitzvahs. So Yerotzim Mitzvahim should be Le'ilu Nishmosai, that he should be Mesameach Tak in Gan Eden Ziyotzat this week, Mitzvahim, on Wednesday. I entitled my talk, Pesach and Hot Springs. Somebody came to me and said to me, I knew Pesach has to be in the spring, but I didn't know they had to be hot. Another fellow came to me only this morning and said, you can expect a lot of travel agents there, tour operators, are going to be wondering about where to send people for the hot springs in Pesach. But actually, I'm basing myself on the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Aleph. Gemara says, Omer Rav Chista, Hamavashel bechamet tveri b'shabbos potter. Shabbos one's not allowed to cook in water which has been boiled on the fire. If somebody goes to the hot springs in Tveria and he cooks there, says the Gemara, he's not going to be chayef because these hot springs are not warmed up with conventional fire as we know it. Actually, the Gemara has got an interesting thing. The Gemara says that the chamei Tveria get their heat from going past the fire of Gehenna somewhere down there. Then the Gemara continues and says, a korban Pesach, which gets cooked in Chamei Tveria, cooked it there, then he's going to be chayef. Rashi explains there, what it means is, he's chayef if he eats a korban Pesach cooked in that way. Because in this week's Sedra, it says that the korban Pesach has got to be roasted. Ki im tzli eish. So if you eat a korban Pesach, which is not roasted, you're over this lav. So the Gemara says, this is the way Rashi explains it, that if you cook your korban Pesach in chamei Tveria, so that's not called roasted, and you're going to be called, you're going to be chayev for it. So we're not going to go now into the lumdus about the exact difference between Shabbos and Pesach, what's cooking, what's roasting. I just want to speak about a technical problem over here which crops up. And that is as follows. From Tveria to Yerushalayim, I checked it up, as a crow flies, it's 150 kilometers. So how do you manage to cook a korban Pesach in Tveria? Everybody knows that the korban Pesach is brought in Yerushalayim, and it's also to bring the korban Pesach out of Yerushalayim. If you do, it becomes pussel immediately. Sort of yotzer. You're not allowed to take it out. So there's no way the korban Pesach can get to Tveria. Maybe you might think that somebody will bring water from Tveria to Yerushalayim. We've got a rule, keli sheni einay mevashel. If you take water off the stove and you pour it into another keli, then that water in the second keli, the gabe hilchas Shabbos and the gabe hilchas Treifas and a lot of other things, it's not mevashel. It hasn't got the power to cook. And besides for the fact that probably after travelling 150 kilometres, that water won't be warm enough to cook anything. So, how is it possible to have a korban Pesach, to cook your korban Pesach in Tveria? Now, it's difficult to know who was the first one to ask this question. I've seen at least 20 achronim dealing with this subject. And there's all different answers. We're time limited. I just want to speak a few of them. First of all, the initial reaction, which some of you might be thinking, most people would think to themselves, maybe Chamei Tveria doesn't necessarily really mean the hot springs of Tveria. Maybe it's just an expression, because that's where the classic hot springs are. Now, it's soil in Tveria. In fact, hot springs are all over the world. In the later years of my father's life, once when he travelled to America, he made sure to book his ticket through Iceland. Believe it or not, he wanted to spend a couple of days there experiencing and seeing and watching these hot geysers there. Even went swimming there, and my mother stayed on the bus there. She's too cold for anything. But my father said, I've got to do it once. And so there's hot springs all over the place. So, perhaps you might want to think, when the Gemara says, Chamei Tveria, doesn't really mean the Chamei Tveria. Derech Moshel, there's a word in English, a Hoover. Everybody knows Hoover's name of a company. But most people use today Hoover instead of the word vacuum cleaner. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's there. To Hoover a room. It's become part of the dictionary, even though it's a company. So therefore, just like a Hoover, any vacuum cleaner can be called a Hoover. So therefore, any hot springs could be called Kametavaria. That's where you might be tempted to answer. But that answer is flawed, because there's another Gemara in Pesachim earlier in the first period. And the Gemara says like this: Omer Abdoista Barab Yamai, Mipnei Ma Ein Chametavaria B'Yerushalayim. Why is there no Chametavaria in Yerushalayim? Incidentally, what do you mean no Chametavaria in Yerushalayim? If it had been in Yerushalayim, it would be called Chametavaria in Yerushalayim. So you see that maybe you could call Chametavaria in Yerushalayim still called Chametavaria. So far, the Teretz is holding out. But the Gemara says, you know why they don't make Chametavaria in Yerushalayim? No, Hashem didn't do it. Because of the Oilei Regolim, the people who come for Yontif to Yerushalayim, that they would say, it's worth coming to Yerushalayim just to have a good hot bath in these hot springs. So they would be coming Shaloi Lishma. So therefore, Hashem made there's no hot springs in Yerushalayim. Well, in that case, call them what you like, Chamei Tveria, Chamei Yerushalayim. There isn't any in Yerushalayim. So therefore, we're back to our kasha again. How is it possible to have your Korban Pesach cooking in Tveria? So I want to bring down another teretz. It's brought down in the back of the Gemara, the Marek Kohen, the back of the Gemara, brings down that his father told him once that he was somewhere and he heard the Chochem Echad from Yerushalayim ask this question b'fnei kol v'eda, and nobody knew an answer to it. He makes a whole big fuss about the kasha. And he says, I don't think it's a problem at all, he says. Because before the Bais HaMikdash was built, there was such a thing called a boma. A boma was like, you might want to call it private shtibel somewhere. It didn't necessarily have to be in Yerushalayim. And theoretically, you could make one in Tveria. And on this boma, on this private boma, you could sacrifice your Korban Pesach in Tveria. Even though he says, a little bit of a problem, because Tveria wasn't really a place of a boma, and if you make one there, it's just a private one called the Boma Siyochid, and you can't bring a Korban Pesach on the Boma Siyochid. But he gets around that. He says, okay, so we'll bring it in Noi V'Givoin, which was a proper place of a Boma Tzibo, and from there, there's no psul of Yotze, because by a boma, it's okay, you don't have to eat it in that town. So then we can bring it to Tveria. Or somebody else wants to say, Pesach Sheni, you can bring in a Boma Siyochid. Somehow or other, you could sacrifice your Korban Pesach in Tveria. In which case, if you do so, you've got your Korban Pesach available to be put into the hot springs. Now that would be a very good teretz as far as the Gemara is concerned. But, first of all, you could ask, well, what's Rav Chista asking this question for? Long after the bomas are finished with, there's not going to be any bomas anymore, the Gemara says, they're finished with. And in fact, the Rambam himself, paskens and brings down this halacha about Mevashel Korban Pesach B'chamei Tveria, and it's well known that the Rambam doesn't touch Hilchas Boma at all. Because as far as the Rambam is concerned, it's a thing which has been and was and never will be. So if that's the case, then why is the Rambam speaking about Korban Pesach in Tveria if the only possibility is with a boma and there's not going to be any bomas anymore, and the Rambam doesn't speak about bomas? So therefore, we're going to have to look for another teretz. So now I want to move on and digress a little bit, go back to something which I said earlier. Keli Sheini Eina Mevashel. How strict is this Keli Sheini Eina Mevashel? So I just want to mention briefly, it's Halucha V'loi Lemaisa. Somebody showed me yesterday, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Hilchas Shabbos from the Chai Odom, that if something is really, really, really hot, more than Yad Seledes Boi, he calls it Yad Nichves Boi, then even in the Keli Sheini can be Mevashel. But Lemaisa, it's a Moiridik Chumra, it's brought down from the Chai Odom, and all the Paskim don't hold of it. And if you look in all the Mefarshim, they all say straight away, no, this is... So anyway, I don't want to use that to answer our question at all. But what I will say is, and this is brought down in the Egle Tal and others, they speak like this. The Turizo, the Taz, has got a shaila that if a person doesn't take a keli rishon and pour it over into another keli, but he takes, for example, a ladle and he puts it into the keli rishon, he puts it in, so that ladle is getting its heat whilst it's in the pot, whilst it's in the keli rishon, and he might even keep it there for a while and get really, really hot, and then he takes out the ladle. So that could still have a din of a keli rishon. And therefore, we're back on the road again. Literally, because you take your ladle and you get on the road down to Yerushalayim. Down to Yerushalayim, from Tiberias to Yerushalayim. It's 150 kilometers. Well, you could have a gamla parcha, you could have a quick camel. And the Imre Emes wants to say, it must have just come out in his days, he says, well known, there's such a thing now, this is what Imre Emes says, called a thermos, means a thermos flask. You put your thermos flask into the Chamer Tiberias, wait till it heats up, screw the lid on, zoom down the road to Yerushalayim, your water's still hot, put your Korban Pesach in, and that's what Rav Chisda is talking about. It's getting quite sophisticated. The Paradis Yosef.
It's got to be done in Yerushalayim Pesach.
Beg your pardon?
Korban Pesach. It has to be in Yerushalayim. It's a double thing.
That's it. So I'm bringing the water from Tiberias to Yerushalayim. It's got to be a big thermos flask to fit in the Korban Pesach.
Keep it warm with a colour gas underneath. That's not good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We've got all sorts of inventive ways here. The Paradis Yosef. It's got a variation on this. Unbelievable that he should think of this. A Paradis Yosef, a Polish goan from Poland from before the war, and he says there, maybe you could make a pipeline, a big long pipe from Tiberias all the way to Yerushalayim. I suppose you put cladding around it and insulate it, and the source of the water will be in Tiberias, and it'll come out from the Chamer Tiberias, and have it spurting out in Yerushalayim. And I don't know if someone's going to allow to do it, because then Oyler Regulim will come back to Yerushalayim again to start bathing in these hot water from the hot pipes.
Another problem.
What's the other problem?
The water won't go up the hill. Bring water to the Besamikdash, they have to drink from Yehitah.
Yeah, you're right. No, you could put a pump on it. What's the matter with you? You put an electric pump at the bottom. No, the pump just shoves the water along. You can talk about it. Anyway. Right. Then I saw another terrace. Another terrace. Some bring down that, as we mentioned before, that the heat of the Chamer Tiberias are taken from the underground fires of Gehenna. And if you know anything about Gehenna, you'll know that there's a place outside Yerushalayim called Gei Gehenna or Shah Gehenna, not far outside Yerushalayim. GG, I don't mean Gei Gehenna, GG, not Bill's Green. But what I was saying is that this Gei Gehenna is very near Yerushalayim. So really, you could sort of hijack the water on the way to Tiberias. It would still be called maybe Chamer Tiberias because it's on the way to Tiberias. But you could get it from there and bring it into Yerushalayim and it would still be hot. Somehow you still might need to use your thermos flask or your ladle to stop it becoming keli sheni. So that's another answer. And also along these lines, somebody wanted to say that maybe there was Chamer Tiberias in Yerushalayim. Who says there's no Chamer Tiberias in Yerushalayim? The Gemara says there's no hot baths. Okay, there's not huge amounts of them coming out in Yerushalayim enough to make a bath that people should congregate there, and that the Oiler Regonim would say, yes, it was worth coming to Yerushalayim for these hot springs. Maybe there's little, just a spurt coming out of the ground, enough for you to cook your Korban Pesach in, but not enough to wash in. So therefore, you'd still be able to have your Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim.
What saying you're allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in this hot water from the
Torah? I'm not saying you're allowed to. The Gemara says you're not allowed to. But I'm asking you, how are you going to get it there? How are you going to do it?
That's the question starts.
Well, how is the Gemara talking about something which can't happen?
Ah, okay.
So it's...
If there's room enough for behemoths, there's room enough
for... No, a common pace of the size of a pussycat. Small little thing. What do you think? How do you fit it on your table on Saturday night?
But perhaps you're allowed to use this water from the because it's an unnatural way. It's not...
That's what the Gemara is discussing. But the Gemara says it might not be called cooking, but it's certainly not called roasting. That's what the Gemara says. I'm just talking about the technical part of it.
Okay.
I want to just say one final answer. The last teretz which you mentioned over here, brought down from Rabbi Nachum Zemba and others, they say, the Gemara, the Sifri says in Devarim, that La'osed Lavoi, Yerushalayim is going to spread. It's going to grow even bigger. It says that it's going to spread until Damascus. Don't worry about it. If you do that, then Tiberia is in Yerushalayim. So you've solved your whole problem. What's going to be? They're going to have the Oyler Regulim coming there for the hot springs. La'osed Lavoi is going to be no Yetzahara. Nobody's going to come to Yerushalayim, Lossed Lovay, for the hot springs. They're all going to be Lishma. So therefore, talk about Lossed Lovay, Mitzvah Shem. So in other words, let's just briefly summarize a sekum, a bit of a summary, what the answers which we've mentioned over here, how you get the Korban Pesach in Tiberia. One answer is, you bring the Korban Pesach to Tiberia and you use the Heta of the Bumas. The other answer is, you don't bring the Korban Pesach to Tiberia, but you bring the hot springs of Tiberia to Yerushalayim with a ladle, with a thermos, with a pipe through Gehenim. And then the third answer we mentioned was that La'osad Lovay, Yerushalayim, is going to include even areas like Tiberia. Actually, just want to mention over here, there's a Yerushalmi which says, interesting halacha. Says if somebody breaks a bone of the Korban Pesach, he's over a lav, gets malchus. Supposing he does that, and then somebody else breaks the bone. Is the second person over breaking the bone of the Korban Pesach? Come to that in a second. Shalami says another thing. Somebody takes the Korban Pesach out of Yerushalayim. Malchus, he's been over. He brings it back in again and takes it out again. Is he over a second time? So Yerushalmi says, yes, shoiver, achas shoiver. There is such a thing, breaking a bone after breaking a bone. Two people can be over. But once you've taken it out, it becomes pusil. And the svara is pushit. Once a Korban Pesach is taken out of Yerushalayim, it's pusil. The next person who takes out, he's not taking a kosher Korban Pesach out of Yerushalayim, he's taking a pusil Korban Pesach, but that's nothing. Breaking a bone, the Korban Pesach doesn't become pusil. You're not allowed to do it. The Korban Pesach is still kosher. So therefore, the next guy can also be over this issa. So I saw Reb Zalman Vilna says a Mori Dekadiyak in the Pusuk, this week's Edra. Pusuk says Lo Soitzi Min Abayis Min Abosah Chutzah. Don't take any Zepsul of Yotza. The Etzem Lo Sijberu Boy. So the Diyak is staring us in the face over there. The Pusuk starts off Loshin Yochid Lo Soitzi Min Abayis Loshin Yochid. Suddenly, in the middle of a pasuk, it switches to Lashon Rabbim. Ve'etzem le'sish beru boy. Why? Says Reb Zalman Mevilna, brother of Reb Chaim Vilojin, says, Moitzi, only one person can be over. Et shaviras etzem, breaking a bone, le'sish beru, even one, more than one person can be over it. Just want to come back to this topic of hot springs. I mentioned something else. Also brought down from the Medrash this week's Hedge, the Gemara says that Rabbi Loza ben Aroch, he was one of the choice Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, he's a mayan, a miskabe. The Gemara Shabbos brings down that he went once to a place called Diomsis, place of hot springs, and he stayed there perhaps a little bit too long, and he became a little bit drawn after the hot springs and these pleasurable places, and he forgot his learning. He came back, they gave him aliyah, Pasha's boy, he had to read from the Torah. Instead of reading, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, says the Gemara. He read Hacheresh Hoyo Libam, Pele from the Gemara, that Rabbi Loza ben Aroch, Gemayin HaMiskabe, he forgot his learning. His Chaverim davened for him, the Gemara says, and he got it all back again. Says the Rabbi Kiva Egon on the side, he says an interesting thing. He says, have a look in Sefer Kanaim, there's a nice pshat on this. I never managed to get hold of the Sefer Kanaim, but now I finally found it. It brings down that there's a special malach which is appointed on Shikcha, forgetting things. The malach's name is called Riv, Reish Yud Beis. And the malach of memory is called Bozach, Beis Zayin Chof. That's what he brings down there. And he says, those are the oisis which have been changed over. Hacheresh Hoya Libam, the Reish and the Yud and the Beis, was changed for a Beis and a Zayin and a Chof, because that was the malach HaShikcha, which was getting him over there, and it was stopping him from remembering his Torah. I want to finish off with a small vort which my father once told me on the Sedra. It brings down that Mechilta says, how do you know that if a person has a Bechoyer from a second wife, that is Mechoyer to do Pidyon HaBen? The Pasuk says, Bechoyer Bechoyer Bonai Efteh. So Pashtus, he learned the Pshat. Says, Bechoyer, Bechoyer is a ribui. My father said, no, that's not the Pshat. Much straighter Pshat. If you look two Pesukim beforehand, it says, V'hoyo ki sholcho bincho mocho lema, your son's going to ask you, Ma Zois, what are you doing all of this for? So you'll tell him, V'choy zekyo, that you're on Hashem in Mitzrayim, and you'll explain to him, it's Mitzrayim, it's Al-Kain, that's why I'm doing all this, and he's a vech, L'Hashem kol peterech, and that's why I'm bringing a korban of a B'choy, V'choy, B'choy, bonai efter, and that's why I'm doing pidyon haben on my son. So who's he talking to, this father? He's talking to his son. His son is asking him, Mazis, what are you doing? So he's explained to him, to his son, why he's doing Pidyon HaBen. Excuse me, which son is he explaining to? Must be that this son, which he's got, which he's explaining to, is from a previous marriage. And the son, who he sees him now, being Hoyda Bechoyer. So from here you see, from this Pasuk, that even if a person has a second son from a second marriage, he still has to do Pidyon HaBen. My father was a big admirer of Torahway, a big supporter. I just want to draw an analogy between what I've said over here and Torahway. We've said over here that a korban could bring its kedusha out of Yerushalayim, you could take it to Tveria. Torahway is like a korban a person gives away the first part of the day and brings kedusha to what otherwise might be a mundane day until you get learning might be later on in the day. So it's a little bit analogous to that. And the other thing which we said, that you can bring the hot water from Tveria to Yerushalayim. So the Torahway taka brings the warmth, brings the warm water into our Yiddishkeit, into our day. And for those listening on the phone, we've always got the pipeline which we spoke about. The heat can travel down the pipeline. And it can reach you here, it can reach you there, it can reach you everywhere. And I thought to myself that Tveria, now don't get me on the spelling on this one, could be Rosh HaTevos. Torahway reach you here. It reaches you here, reaches you there, reaches you everywhere. Everybody should have a good day, and if somebody wants a copy of that National Geographic article, should contact me and I can get it to them.